This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We move into Thursday's four matchups, Friday as well. Sweet 16 will very quickly morph into the Elite Eight. Before you know it, we'll be down in San Antonio. The entire show getting ready to bring you Tiki and Tierney from Radio Row. We always look forward to that. And we always look forward to talking chop with our next guest. Last time, we had him in studio last week and talked about his book, which is terrific. But now we can make a little fun of him because a little bit too quick to reach for that Sharpie, Seth Davis, huh?
Happens.
Well, it does. But I wanted to ask you this, and Seth is with us now here on Tiki and Tierney. And the Sharpie reference Virginia, you know, and you got hit on Twitter for it. It's all good. But is that the quickest? Because I've never seen you do it that quick. Was that the quickest you ever went for the Sharpie?
You know, the last couple of years, I usually like to look for a 1-1-16 game and do it right at the tip. So, hey, listen, as I like to say, there's no slow way to drive off a cliff. Right? Pedal to the metal. And yeah. And I also, you know, it's interesting because I've been having this conversation, like debate with my friend Clark Kellogg for a number of years. You know, I've really felt for a long time that it was just a matter of time before 16 defeated a 1. We had this debate on the air about a month ago, and he felt like his line was not going to happen in our lifetime. And I actually picked 10. I do this little upset underdog lock in the studio, and I picked 10 as my lock over Kansas, mostly because 10, I'd seen some of these analytics guys, these guys a lot smarter than the three of us, show the numbers on why 10 was like the best 16 seed of all time. So I think Kansas is a really good team. I think Virginia is a very good team, but yeah, so I mean, I wasn't shocked that I felt like it was going to happen at some point, but I certainly would have never, ever anticipated that it would come by a 20-point margin. But if you think about it, that's actually more fitting because the circumstances of a one and done where you lose and your season is over, I mean, the pressure on those Virginia players was so enormous. You could just see it completely. I mean, they choked. It's not mean to say it. It's a fact. They absolutely choked it away. They played against a good team that was hot, and history was made. It was delightful.
Yeah, no, you're right. You know, look, it's my alma mater. I followed them closely. They were great as a whole. They lose one piece, and they choked. But Ryan Odom, the head coach at UMBC, I mean, the ties to Virginia are just overwhelming. I mean, it was kind of fitting that he was the guy to beat them. But when you look at a squad like that and you look at some of these other upsets that have happened in the tournament this year, can you pinpoint one reason why this could happen? Because UMBC, it wasn't – I mean, Virginia choked, but Virginia choked playing the game that they always play. UMBC was lights out, you know what I mean? So and it's happened a lot. Clemson scored 84 points on Auburn. Right, Michigan State loses to Syracuse. All of these things that seem improbable seem to be happening this year.
Well, as I've often said, you know, the only thing that's thoroughly predictable about the NCAA tournament is its unpredictability, and it's just the nature of the beast. I mean, we really do see this every year. I mean, I've seen some of these numbers where if you total up the number of seeds or like the average number of seeds in the Sweet 16, it's pretty much on par with what we've seen in the last several years. Now, you know, people want to say that there's more parity, but, you know, yes and no. I mean, I think that fans understand that there just is not that much of a difference between the Loyolas of the world and the Tennessees of the world. There's just not. And so if you don't have a good game, and anyone who makes the NCAA tournament, it's not just that they're a good team, they're playing well. Like UMBC beat Vermont on a late three-pointer by Jarris Lyles because they're playing well. So you can say what they did over the course of the season, but they got to the tournament because they're playing well. Loyola won its first game because it's, you know, had a great season playing well. So if you're not at your best, you're not going to beat these guys. And then, you know, going back to Virginia, you know, they had a very key injury to this fresh redshirt freshman, DeAndre Hunter, who's their best pro prospect and is very important to do, their most versatile defender. He was really the guy on that team who was best able to go get a bucket, you know, on his own. And so do they, if they have DeAndre Hunter, do they win the game? Maybe, probably, who knows? But It is a very highly pressurized situation, and these are college kids, and the vast majority of them are not good enough to be professionals. So once that momentum starts, you know, choking you off, it's hard to function.
Yeah, it's uphill at that point. Seth Davis is with us here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Seth, there's a couple of number ones left, Nova and Kansas, both on the right side of the brackets. Duke is in Kansas, though, in Kansas Midwest bracket. And when you look at how these things could converge together, there's a couple of the expected ones there that could get to the Final Four. Who's unexpectedly going to be in the Final Four in your mind?
Well, you know, it's hard to say, Teak. I mean, three of all the predictions I've gotten wrong, and there have obviously been many of them, three of my Final Four teams are still in this thing. I had Villanova, Duke, Michigan, and Virginia was my. So it's, you know, it's hard to say that, like, if Kentucky gets to the Final Four,
yeah,
you're not
expected. Yeah, no, that's not expected. But I'm thinking more like a Texas A&M, because those two big men were dominant this past weekend. So, I mean, is that enough of a factor when they beat UNC, obviously? Is that enough of a factor to get them through against a team like Michigan?
No question. Texas A&M, I mean, obviously, look, any team looks good when they're winning by 20.
Yeah.
But they have had a very odd season. You know, they started off the season, they were a lot of people's pick, including my own, to win the SEC. They beat West Virginia in the season opener over in Germany at the start of the year. Looked terrific. Then they had all kinds of injuries and suspensions, and one guy would come back and another guy would leave, and they brought in this graduate transfer, Dwayne Wilson from Marquette, as their point guard, and then he went down to a season-ending knee injury in February, and they replaced him with this freshman, TJ Starks, who it took him a couple of weeks but is really playing great basketball, and now they have everybody else in place, healthy, and a couple of guys up front, including Robert Williams, who to me is like another Aggie, DeAndre Jordan.
Yeah.
Very, very scary team. I mean, they got some serious – and Gonzaga, by the way, has got some dudes on that team. So I don't think of Florida State in the class, but, you know, any of those three, you could almost put them in a drum right now and pick out who's going to win that one. I'll stay with Michigan because they're my original pick, but, boy, A&M looked really impressive.
They did. You know, Seth, I want to step away from the games for a sec. I'm sure you saw the story, and it's kind of been out there for a couple of days, but now we're actually getting tangible numbers here with Danny Hurley, Rhode Island, Pitt, reportedly in excess of $3 million a season. URI hasn't gotten to the table yet. I'm sure they'll make an aggressive push for whatever they can afford based on where they are, what they generate. UConn is clearly in the mix, but their identity's taken a hit since the defection to the Big East. It's my thought. This is just my opinion, but I can't identify the team to help finish my thought. If I'm Hurley, I would stay at Rhode Island. I don't love where UConn is right now. I don't like at all where Pitt is right now. I think there'll be a more appealing job next year. Help us. Where could that school possibly be? What could be a better fit next season if Hurley stays at Rhode Island for one more?
Well, he's in a great situation because he has a very good job. It's in a solid league. And he's certainly got equity and job security there. The two things to keep in mind are, first of all, that the reason they were so good this year is because they had two senior guards who were leaving. So he's the only one who really knows, you know, in terms of what he's got coming back, what he's got coming in, you know, how things look moving forward. And I don't know, man. I mean, it's hard to turn down that money, you know. And the reality is you can say, well, UConn is this or Pitt is that. Both programs present their challenges, but anywhere that you're going to go, I mean, there's a reason those jobs are open. So this is why I have said, by the way, for many years, the thinking was it's better to go into a situation that's down because therefore you know nowhere to go but up. You don't have to live up to the guy who came before where they, you know, the job is open because they fired a coach for losing. I think it's actually better to go into a situation where, like Steve Prohm did at Iowa State following Fred Hoiberg, where the job is open because the guy won so much he got hired away. Because it's not clear. I mean, look at Kevin Stallings. It's not clear you know, how long those fans will wait on you if you lose for a couple of years. So, I mean, the reality is UConn and Pitt can pay Danny Hurley a lot more than Rhode Island can pay him. And anywhere that he goes is probably going to involve a lengthy rebuild. You get a good – I mean, these buyouts that people are offering are crazy. You see what they're paying Tubby Smith and Kevin Stallings when you fire the guy before you've even paid your next guy. So you get a long-term contract, and you know that you have a few years to build the thing. Who knows what happens a year from now? URI could be really bad, and Danny's not such a hot prospect. So It's real hard to turn down that money. I would expect he's going to go somewhere.
You know, Seth, can you give us any clarity about what you think will happen at UConn? Kevin Ollie fired for cause, even though they were bad. The fans started to turn on him, obviously, at the end. We can only assume that it's related to the FBI, NCAA probes and investigations that are going on. But Kevin Ollie is not going to just back away and say, yeah, I don't want that $10 million. I mean, that complicates who's coming in behind him, correct?
Yes and no. I mean, you know, again, you can rationalize that by saying, hey, that's between UConn and Kevin Ollie. I just know what they're paying me, you know. So, I mean, the only assumption that I'm making about UConn right now is they don't want to have to pay Kevin Ollie's money.
Yeah.
So to me, from the way outside looking in, it was very manufactured by saying you're firing a guy for cause. First of all, you know, there's a separate investigation. It has nothing to do with the FBI scandal, as far as I know. That into some recruiting or whatever. I don't know where that is or if they, but it can't just be the beginning of an investigation. There has to be a finding.
Yeah, exactly.
Which makes it that level of cause.
Which why the timing is odd.
I don't know. UConn's just trying to get out of paying his money. That's all it is.
Yeah. Sounds like
can't get mad at him for that. I mean, you know, although deal's a deal.
Deal's a deal. Pay the guy money. He sucked for the last couple of years. They sucked for the last couple of years. Fire him. It's fine.
That's a tough job. I mean, even though Calhoun's long gone, and that's a big shadow. That's a tough job.
He did win a national championship, though.
I understand. So, Seth, I wanted to throw this by here to bring it back to the game. Seth Davis with us here on Tiki and Tierney. We know about Villanova, obviously great pedigree, a blue blood now, Jay Wright national championship, best in nation, West Virginia, great defense, Press Virginia. We know about Bobby Huggins. Kansas is Kansas. Purdue has gotten a lot of national love this year. I feel like of the 16 teams that remain, I feel like we gloss over Clemson maybe the most. Do they have a shot to actually get to San Antonio? Can they win a couple of more games?
Well, they got a bigger shot than Auburn, so you start there. I mean, to me, you're in the game. Of course you have a shot. They're a pretty good team, you know. I mean, Clemson is like a really good mid-major team, and I say that as a compliment. I mean, they're – you know, kind of what we were talking about earlier. I mean, they're older. They play together. They're really efficient. They're a very good defensive team. They actually lost their best inside player in February, and they kind of sputtered a little bit at that point. But, you know, they have a guard named Gabe DeVoe who's just making every shot. So, absolutely, they have a puncher's chance. I just think Kansas, you know, Kansas has played in a lot of close games this year. They've had numerous comebacks to win on the road. You know, so, you know, they got into that game with Seton Hall. It was pretty close throughout that second half. They could never really put Seton Hall, and they were never uncomfortable. I just think, you know, that's a great thing for the postseason. Plus, you know, they have their best big man, Udoka Azubuike, who sprained his knee. They were kind of using him for limited minutes. He played more against Seton Hall. Now he's got 5 days to rest and recover. So I think he'll have more minutes. So, of course I expect Kansas to win the game, but, Clemson doesn't have to believe that, and they have every reason to believe they can win this thing.
Seth, you're teaming up with Dove Men Plus Care to illuminate the impact of caring fans with the Real Strength Manifesto. We had David Robinson in last week. He talked about it a little bit. Shane Battier's done this as well. Tell us about this a little bit.
It was a really great project that Dove Men Care signed me on for, where I got to talk to David and Shane and also guys like Trey Burke, Doug McDermott, Jameer Nelson, Marcus Johnson, Danny Manning, and really talked about they want to come up with something that celebrates the fan experience, both as a fan, all those guys, you know, you grow up, with the guys on your bedroom wall, a poster on your wall, and then later in life, Dickie Barber can relate to this. You're the guy in the post.
Yeah.
And what that means to you and that relationship between, being an athlete and a fan and how much that means to the athletes now. So we came up with this Real Strength Manifesto. It's up on DoveMenCare.com/NCAA, and it's a very cool celebration of the fan experience, which is really what the NCAA tournament is all about. It just makes sense. Whether you know a lot about college basketball or care a lot about sports, it's hard not to get sucked into the drama and excitement and the storylines of the tournament. Even me, covering it in the studio, I'm a fan at heart.
Yeah, so, awesome.
DoveMenCare.com/NCAA is where you can find it.
Seth, nice. Good stuff. Appreciate you, buddy. Thank you very much, man.
Appreciate you guys. Thanks so much for having me on.
Be good,
Seth. And the book, by the way, we had him in last week, Getting to Know Us. He sat down with a bunch of different coaches. If you like Seth on air and you like him as a writer, which obviously many of you do, the book is really solid.
Agreed.
Really good contents.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.